Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
And if you don't know who I am, my name is Pastor Jess, and I'm one of the senior pastors here on staff, and I'm just so honored to be your pastor and to get to be standing in this pulpit to give you the Word of God tonight. I believe that there is a life-changing word coming out of tonight. I have been, we had been going through the book of Ruth. I think we're on part three at this point, and last few weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, when I preached, I didn't get to the last point of the message. And I thought it was like the moment. And yet God was like, oh no, I'm going to have you stew in it for a little longer, because you're actually, if you go through that right now, you're going to miss part of what I want the congregation to grab. And so I've been just stewing in his word, and I've been just living in his words, and there is life in this word. There's life in the word of God. If you're broken and you're hungry, just pick up your Bible. If you don't know what to do, just begin to ask the Spirit of God to begin to teach you, because no matter how many times you go through this, I'm here to tell you, it will be new to you every time, because only the Bible, you can read it a million times, which I've already read it through so many times I can't even count. But the awesome part of it is every time I do, I'm like, how did I miss that last time? Because God's word is so rich, it's so real, and it's so big. It's so expansive for you and I. And so we're going to dig into this, the word tonight. We are a Bible-believing church. We've been going line upon line. And so before we do, I want to thank God for what he's going to speak to our hearts. I want to ask every person in here to be smart right now and turn your phones on do not disturb. Can you do that? Do not disturb. Because if somebody is trying to get a hold of you, or if your game is giving you a notification, it is not important, because God is trying to get a hold of you right now. God has a word for you, and he's in love with you. So put aside all of the distractions and let's press in and let's pray. So if you'd like to stand in honor of God, you can. If you want to stay seated, it doesn't mean you're not honoring God. You can stay seated. We're not like a religious church like that. So if you can stand, that's okay. But let's just honor God. And Lord, we just thank you. We come before you this morning, or tonight, God. And Lord, we just thank you for what you've already done. Wow, God, you're already on the move. So Lord, we invite you to come into this message. We invite you to come into this house. We invite you to speak. And Lord, I ask that you'd wear me well and speak what you need to speak and say what you need to say, God. Lord, we thank you for all the churches that are ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for our nation, which allows us to come and to gather. Lord, we pray, God, over the nation, God. We pray over our nation, and Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that the church of God would arise and that the truth of God would overtake the darkness. And Lord, I pray, God, for your hand to be on us. Lord, we pray, God, for those that are persecuted. In China, they've just arrested 30 pastors, God. Lord, we ask, God, that Lord, that you would deliver them, Lord, in Nigeria and the Congo, Lord. Over 7,000 people have been murdered for your name's sake. And so, God, we stand in the gap for those that are being persecuted for your name's sake. Lord, we ask for a way of escape for them. Lord, we ask for strength and courage for them. Lord, we ask for a boldness, God. And Lord, we know that they will die, God, as they die, that they will have and carry the crown of a martyr. And so we thank you for them, God. I pray that their seed would go out and that it would spread the gospel all over the world. And Lord, we thank you, God, that what Satan thinks he had, that God, that you would overcome him in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for Jerusalem, God. We pray the peace over Israel. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done so far for them. And Lord, we pray that your mighty hand would come, Maranatha, for your church. And Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen and amen. So good. Well, we have been going through the book of Ruth, and we're on part three. And the book of Ruth is about the Gentile church. What is a Gentile? A Gentile is anybody who is not of Jewish descent, okay? So if you have Jewish blood in you, you are not a Gentile, you are a Jew. But for me, I'm a Gentile because I'm Italian. And so we are Gentiles. How many Mexicans we got in the house? All right, you are Gentiles. And so we are Gentiles. This is for the body. Unless you have a Z. I heard unless they have a Z on the end of their name, they may have Jewish descent. Yeah, pretty cool. So anyway, so if you're Rodriguez with a Z, you might want to look into that. So this is about, sorry, this side note, side thing. But this is about God and his church. This is an old book testament. This is around the time of when the judges were ruling the land. There was not a king yet. And the children of Israel, they were crazy, man. They went with every wind of like what was cool. Can we get a witness? That sounds like us. And so God had to send them judges because they kept falling and backsliding into their old ways. And so God said, okay, we're going to send some judges into the land. And every time the judges were there, they would do better. And then the judge would die, and guess what happened? They would go right back into their old ways. They would begin to worship false idols, and they would begin to do things their own way instead of God's way, and they would not follow the commandments of the Lord. And so finally, God was like, done. And he dried up their land and their crops. This is where it brings us into the book of Ruth. And there was a man by the name of Elimelech. Did I say that right? I hate saying his name. We should call him Eli. He and his family, his two sons and his wife, went to a land called Moab. Moab was an ungodly land. It had many different gods. Moab was evil. It reigned with evil. And they had their own traditions and their satanic practices. There was actually a lot of witchcraft. There was a lot of things that they called God that wasn't God. Sounds like today, doesn't it? So here he is. His land is dried up. He ran away. He took his family because of the green is grasser on, greener on the other side, right? Have we ever heard of that phrase? And as they lived in that land, his two sons found two wives, Moabite women. And the Moabite women and their sons lived, but they did not have any children. And then the father ended up dying, and the two sons ended up dying. And the mom, Naomi, who was a Jewish woman, who had to follow her husband into this land that she did not know why she was there, but go back and listen to all those messages. There was so much there. She decided, I'm broken. I hear what God is doing in the new land. I hear what God is doing in Judah, Bethlehem. And it says that God is falling again on his people and that he's providing for them again. I gotta go. So she gathers her things and begins to take off, and her two daughter-in-laws, out of faithfulness and loyalness, began to follow her. She turns to them and she says, no, girls, go back to your own land. You're not of the Jewish descent, you're in the Moabite. Go be with your family. Go find husbands. You can't do anything for me any longer. I'm just this old widow. And one of the women, Orpah, said, okay, bye, I love you. Gave her a hug. They cried together, and she went back to her people, back to her false gods, back to her old ways, and never did we hear from her again. But there was one daughter-in-law named Ruth who was loyal. And Ruth stuck by her side. And Ruth said, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. And there I will die with you. And she decided, she's determined. So Naomi stopped arguing with Ruth and began the journey with Ruth by her side. As they go into this next season of what God is going to do in the new land that God had promised all of Israel, she steps into and back into a place that is familiar to her, and yet Ruth steps back into a place that's very unfamiliar to her. Both of them are widows. Both of them are grieving. Both of them are in places of despair. And yet, God does something very unique in their journey. So let's go there. Ruth 1:19-22. It says, now the two of them went until they came back to Bethlehem. And it had happened that when they had come to Bethlehem, that all of the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? Verse 20, but she said to them, do not call me Naomi. Now, I want to go back for a second. If you don't remember from the few messages ago, Naomi's name meant pleasant. So Naomi's name meant pleasant. And she says, don't call me Naomi, because our names carry a meaning. And she says, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. Verse 21, I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? Verse 22. So Naomi returned with Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And now they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley season. The beginning of barley season was a time of fruitfulness, a time of plenty, a time where God's hand was on them and he was about to provide something incredible for them after years and years of drought and famine. So she knew she had to come back. She had to have a piece of what God was doing. But the journey back was not easy for her. It didn't seem good for two women that were just women, no men accompanying them, walking across a very evil-infested desert. Think about this. There were people that would rob. There were people that would steal on their journey. They didn't have much. They didn't have the strength of a man to carry water for them. And yet they made that journey. They made that trek back to a place that Naomi knew would be safe, and Ruth trusted Naomi it would be safe. And yet God was there. That's where God dwelt. That's where God led his people. That's where God put provision, blessing, boundaries, borders, and favor. And Naomi knew that her life needed the hand of God in it. Ruth knew that what she came from was so dark that this good God she heard of was her only hope, and she had to go. Two different women, but the same situation. Grieving and hurting, broken, one bitter, one just hopeful. The journey back may not be easy for some of us. Do you remember the time when you said yes to God and what it was like after you said, okay, God, I'm going to give you my life? Boy, every demon in hell comes after you. Every family member is mad at you. Well, what do you mean you're going to church again? Well, what do you mean you're giving of your tithe? But you know, your family didn't get mad at you when you were going to the club or when you were spending money on drugs and alcohol. You see, the journey is not going to be easy. The journey to God will never be a smooth one. But it's so necessary in all of our lives. As Naomi knew, she had to get back to the promised land. So that journey was hard for them. It wasn't an easy road, but it was in his presence that she needed healing. It was in his presence that she needed provision. It was in his presence she needed the protection of God because she had no covering of a man, and it was in his presence she needed to find favor again in her life. And so if you're listening tonight and you're broken, if you're listening tonight and there's a piece of you that just feels empty, I'm here to tell you tonight, just like these women, you're in the right place. You've stepped already on this journey of saying yes to God, and God is ready to meet you right there. God has new things for you, great things for you. He's going to expand your capability of doing what only you think you can do. God's going to take you further. God is going to show you the pouring and the outpouring of his love, because there's no other love on this earth. No human love will ever be able to be the tangible love of the Most High God. And when you step into his presence, you get to receive the love of God. So the journey back to healing is what we're going to talk about tonight. These women needed healing. The Gentile church needed healing. Ruth did not belong in this land. She came from Egypt. Her skin color was a little darker than everybody else's. It was very obvious she didn't fit in. But she didn't care, because she heard of a God. She heard of this God, and she was able to receive, and she said, I gotta go. I gotta go be where he wants me to be. I gotta go. I might not fit in. I'm not gonna go to a land where they're gonna even receive me. I am going to be the person that they probably shun from their homes because my customs don't meet their customs. But Ruth went knowing that she had to be with Naomi out of loyalty, but she had to be with God out of commitment and loyalty as well. It was a great sacrifice for her to not fit in. And I believe the journey back to healing is going to require us to be in positions where we don't fit in. You want to fit in so much. You want to be accepted so much. I'm here to tell you, you don't need to be accepted by man. You need to be accepted by God. You don't need to fit in with man. You got to fit in with God. And God is asking us as the body of Christ to begin a journey back to him, which will lead us to healing. And on this road of healing, we have to acknowledge some things. So if you're taking notes tonight, the first thing you have to acknowledge, you have to acknowledge a root of bitterness in you. Sorry. Ruth 1, 20 through 21. But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi," which meant pleasant. "Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went out full." Can we talk about this for a second? They ran from God because it was empty and dry in the land of Israel. So they go to the Moabite because they think it has more provision for them. And yet now she's on her way back because God now is providing again and she's lost everything. So what she thought she was leaving to get more of didn't work. And she says that I left full. So even when God is holding back from us, even when God is not giving you what you want, even when you think God's not answering your prayers, what if God is like, you're full enough right now with everything you have and everything you need? Don't run. But they ran. They went to a new land. And so here she was, she admits it. I left full, and the Lord brought me back home again empty because she depleted all the fullness that she had in the presence of God in a land she did not belong in, and it robbed her of everything God filled her with. You don't belong in places you shouldn't be as a believer. Can we talk? You don't belong in clubs. You don't belong in the casinos. You don't belong in the bars. You are children of the Most High God. You have a God living on the inside of you, and why do you need to bring the unholiness? You need to bring your holiness into unholy places and expect God to move on your behalf, because that's not how he works. What is our land of Moab here? What is it you're not satisfied because God is boring? Because it's not enough for you when you come to church? You didn't get goosebumps that week, or the pastor didn't preach good enough? We're not here to entertain you. You're here to press in. You're here to pull on God. You're here to find God in a new way for yourself. And the bottom line of this is that we've got to stop going to places we believers do not belong in. We got to get out of atmospheres where demonic presences are surrounding us and beginning to overtake us, and it will leave you empty as it left Naomi. When you're in the presence of the Almighty, you will never feel empty because you are complete in him. And she understood this. She says, "The Lord has brought me home empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has testified against me." That means she knows that the hand of God came against her, and the Almighty has afflicted me. In her return, Naomi's pain and bitterness was very evident. The tragedy of what she had experienced, the hurt and the rejection and the abandonment she probably felt in this moment can go ahead and overtake us. It can cloud us. What judgment have you gone through? What hurt have you experienced? What rejection have you been experiencing? Who abandoned you in your life? I'm here to tell you tonight, you're in the right place, because God wants to deal with the roots of bitterness that come as a result of these issues. Because if we live our lives in bitterness, we cut off the hand of God to move in our life. God's hand is sovereign. Bitterness will separate us from the hand of God. And many times bitterness can be a result of the absence of God's grace in our life. Bitterness is a result of the absence of God's grace in our life. Naomi lived in this land where God had great plans for her and her family. And she had to go to a land that caused her pain and sorrow. She left Judah Bethlehem because she thought God wasn't providing. She returned to Judah Bethlehem, bitter, angry, sad, defeated, but she couldn't even see what was right next to her as she walked back into her city that was her home. And it was this beautiful girl named Ruth, somebody who unconditionally loved her, someone who gave everything up to serve her for the rest of her life. By following Naomi, Ruth thought, I will never be able to get married again. I will never be accepted in this foreign land, but it is my job and it is my commitment to take care of Naomi and not leave her. Ruth's commitment was right there, but Naomi couldn't even see it because she was so bitter and she was so angry and she was so full of hurt. We all can tend to focus on what is going on in our lives. We're like the number one complainers of the world, right? We can talk about everything that's bad, and when something is good, we actually don't even talk about it because we're like, oh, cool, and then we move on. Have you ever prayed for something and God answered it and you never even went back and thanked him for it? You see, we got to get better at looking at the good instead of just looking at the bad. We can't allow our souls to be conditioned to look at what's wrong, but we have to begin to condition our souls to see what is good. And so here, she had this pain and this sorrow. There are tragedies that have happened to you. There are things that have been misfortunate in your life. There were things that were done to you that should have never been done to you. There are people that came against you and hurt you and took things from you that you cannot get back. But I'm here tonight to tell you that there's a God in heaven who wants you to be free of that pain that has been put on you, that Satan has tried to rob you with and stole days and nights of sleep. There has been so much taken from you. You haven't had joy in your life. But if you would just take this root of bitterness that has begun to grow and you rip it out and you say, I don't want it anymore. Guess what happens? God begins to fill that place. And the power of God begins to release you and begins to heal you, begins to undo the things that have had you bound like those roots. These roots will bind you. These roots will stop you. These roots will keep you stuck. These roots of bitterness will deceive you. These roots of bitterness will lie to you for your whole life. And you will wonder, where was God? And God is going, I've been trying to get you free of this root of bitterness your whole life. And tonight, I believe that God wants to break some of you free. God wants you to just pull it out and to rip it out because he's the healer. You see, she returned to Bethlehem bitter, angry, and sad, and defeated. But Ruth returned with hope, that there was a new hope and a future for her. She returned, not with the security of anything, but just the security of knowing that she was gonna be with Naomi and be with God. That was enough for Ruth. Why can't that be enough for us? You see, sometimes I think we want God to make us feel good. We've been living in a generation and a culture where our feelings move us in every direction possible. But I don't know about you, how much has it robbed us of thinking about ourselves all day long? I'm mad at so-and-so because they didn't call me. I'm mad at this person because they didn't do what I think they should do. I didn't like how that person talked to me. It's all about you, you, you. I know another one that always talked about himself, and his name was Satan. And he was the I angel. I want to be like God. And do you know what happened? God cast him out. Because with Christ, there is not selfishness that reigns. It is selflessness in the presence of God. And here was Ruth stepping into selflessness. And Naomi was being a bit selfish, but she knew enough to at least come back to God in her bitterness. Sometimes we know we're wrong. Has anybody in this room been wrong? Every single hand should go up. And for the wife that has a husband that never admits it, right now look at him and be like, thank you for finally admitting it. Because we don't like being wrong. We don't like it when people call us out. We don't like it, right? We gotta have our stuff together. We have to be upfront. We have to, you know, we have to do it the way that nobody sees us in a negative way. But I'm here to tell you, with God, you can't hide. You cannot hide. And so it was by God's grace that he extended his hand to people. It is God's kindness that goes beyond what human capacity can handle. But it is bitterness that overtakes us, and the tragedy of our pain will lock us in, and it will keep us stuck. Pain and bitterness was what Naomi called herself. But I know that bitterness is bigger than that. It actually robs us of many things. Go with me to Deuteronomy 29:18. Make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose hearts turn away from the Lord our God to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. Let's go to another verse, Hebrews 12:14-15, and we're going to compare them. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. That's a big ask. Without holiness, I want you to see that. Without holiness, say that with me. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Wow. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. What is the grace of God? God's sovereign, divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I cannot do it. That no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. These two verses talk about two very different points about the root of bitterness and what causes it. But they have a very simple understanding for us when we look at them together. What causes bitterness? Not living holy causes bitterness. It positions us to fall short of the grace of God. So if you're taking notes, what causes bitterness? Me not living holy. It positions me to not have the grace of God moving into my life. Living holy is a safety for God's provision in my life, for his boundaries and his borders bring a grace into my life that helps me combat the root of bitterness. It is the bait of Satan to bring bitterness into our life, to bring offense, to bring brokenness, to bring tragedy. He loves us to be bitter because then it positions us out of the power of God's grace. Song of Solomon says, this is the groom talking to the bride, says, catch all the foxes, those little foxes, before they ruin the vineyard of love, for the great vines are blossoming. The little foxes will ruin the vine. They will choke out what God wants for you in your life. And what will choke it out? Bitterness. It is the little things that add up that bring us pain, right? How about offense? Has anybody offended you lately? No, I'm not offended. Sure, but you are like weird when they walk in the room. You avoid them at all costs, right? How about anger? Has anybody made you really angry? This will eventually take us out. It will take us out of the protection and the covering of God. It will take us out of the place of blessing. But if we remain holy and we strive to be in the presence of God, he will begin to correct us when those things happen. So when those things happen, because guys, they do. We're very human. People bug me just like they bug you. And the reality is, but I'm in the presence of God continually. I'm putting myself in a position of humility under the presence of God so that offense and those things that are coming at me with, they can be addressed with me and God. And God goes, hey, what is that right there? You need to catch that before it digs down deep and becomes really big underground. And I began to pull it, okay, I forgive them, I release them. Lord, I pray you bless them. Oh my gosh, you have to bless the people that hurt you? Yes. Because what you bless can't be cursed. Bless them. Don't give Satan any room. Don't give him any ground. So what allows a root of bitterness, room and permission to grow in our lives is when we leave the borders and the perimeters of what God has given us to live within. Naomi left the borders and perimeters, and guess what happened? She left full, and she came back empty and full of bitterness. Why? Because there was no grace of God on her in the land of Moab. There was no favor, and there was no provision. It opens the door for Satan to work in your life. Bitterness can be a direct result of leaving your safety and God's protection and provision for your life. Bitterness can also come after hope has been lost and you feel like you've been overcome in life. It can come when we have lived and accumulated, we have lived a life of accumulated disappointments. One disappointment after another disappointment after another disappointment. It wears you out. Satan knows how to wear us down, church. He knows how to get us weary, and he knows how to get us weak. And it's in those moments that bitterness can begin to take root. How about something traumatic happening in our lives? Car accidents, maybe a divorce. Maybe it's your parents separating. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one, grief. How about feeling constantly attacked by someone? Whether that's in school, as a student, or it's at work, in the workplace by another employee or a boss, you just feel constantly berated by somebody. You can get bitter, you can get angry, you can become resentful, which creates unforgiveness in your heart. Ooh, this is where we go deeper, guys. You ready? Bitterness creates a life of unforgiveness in our lives. And when unforgiveness comes, we are seen through lenses of cynical ways instead of ungodly ways. It creates a life of bitterness instead of joy. If this strikes you, it's time for you to check yourself. What's going on in my heart? Who is it that has wronged me? How have I been seeing life? What, God, do you need me to examine and pull out? God, help me, because I can't do this on my own. And the most beautiful thing about God is he says, no, you can't, but I can. And when you come into my presence, I give you tools and I equip you as you sit under the word and as the pastors teach you and as you sit with other believers and you pray and ask for strength in areas you don't have strength to do. You see, we need each other, church. If we don't deal with these things, they will begin to grow. I have a picture of a dandelion. These little dandelions, they're such a pain in the bottom in my yard. And I have pulled them and they've snapped off at the top. But if you don't pull them from the root out, guess what happens? They grow back in a couple days. They're little feisty ones. But look how big the roots are. And how deep are your root systems of bitterness growing? Under the ground where you can't see it. In your heart where you don't even realize it, because you have just allowed Satan to play ping pong with your mind, your will, and emotion, like Dan talked about this weekend. Bitterness is a direct result of leaving the grace of God. Galatians 6, 7 through 9. I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. Some of you call it a commentary, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. I just love the way it says it. God will never be mocked. For what you plant will always be the very thing that you harvest. The harvest you reap reveals the seed that you planted. If you plant the corrupt seed of self-life into the natural realm, you can expect a harvest of corruption. If you plant a good seed in the spirit life, you will reap beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the spirit. And don't allow yourselves to be weary in planting good seed, for in this season of reaping, the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. Plant good seed in your heart. This begins with dealing with your repentance and your unforgiveness. It's time for us, church, to not be stuck in bitterness. It's time for us not to justify our bitterness. We do that so easily. Well, you know, they did me wrong, so I'm going to do them wrong. And it's tit for tat, eye for eye. Not in the kingdom of God. God says if they punch you on one side, turn your cheek and let them hit you again. He says if they steal your coat, give them your cloak. He says pray for your enemy. You say, what? Why is he asking so much of me? Because you don't overcome evil with the way evil does things. We overcome evil by doing good. And a heart that is not bitter can handle doing good. Bitterness is heavy. It's a humongous weight. It will drag you down, church. It will take you out. It will weigh you down. It will be like you're dragging this thing around. Have you ever seen a bitter person? You stop wanting to hang out with them on holidays. You stop wanting to call them and asking them how their day is because you're like, I already know. It's not good. I don't want to hear it because I don't know what to say to them anymore. I can't encourage them anymore. They're just negative Nelly. And yet, we, church, should be the most joyful, resilient people, that people want to be in our presence, that people want to be with us, that people want to call us, and people want to invite us over because they just need a dose of joy. But we cannot allow bitterness to drag us down so that we become like the world. The journey back to healing starts with number two, choosing to repent and forgive. Healing from a bitter place begins with repentance and forgiveness. I believe that Naomi was coming back to the land that God had given her. It was an act of repentance and her coming back to the Lord. Remember in this story, the picture of church in the Christ, of Christ. We were broken, we were sinners until we said yes to God. And we had to come back to him. Naomi was coming back to her king. She was coming back to the blessing and the provision. See, mercy and grace is found in our surrender at the throne room of God. Repenting of our sins sets us free to receive all that God has in store for us. Acts 8:22 says, through 23, repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you of your evil thoughts. For I can see that you are full of a bitter jealousy and are held captive by your sin. This is the word of God calling us out. It is our thoughts that even we have to give an account for and we need to repent for. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. What is grace? God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. So he's saying, bring this. Let therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace and help in your time of need. When you put yourself in a place of a humble repentance, God meets you there with mercy wrapping around you, with grace surrounding you and opening doors of favor before you. Repentance breaks off the enemy's hand on your life and the life of those around you. Repentance is a closed door to Satan and an open door to God. This is a powerful action on our parts. Powerful. It literally breaks everything that Satan tries throwing at you. It gives him no power, no control, because repentance is covered by the blood of the Lamb. That means that shed blood that Jesus gave on that cross washes away our sins. So when we bring our sin to the throne room and we repent of it, guess what happens? The blood of Jesus washes it away. It's a beautiful exchange. We may not get to see it in the natural, but it's happening in the supernatural. Repentance delivers us into God's forgiveness. And because God forgave us, church, we have to forgive others. And this is the key one, and ourselves. And ourselves. Ephesians 4:31 through 32, get rid of all your bitterness, your rage, your anger, your harsh words, your slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Verse 32, instead be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Forgiveness is a process. It is very hard to be free from forgiveness. It's something that is a surrender to God and on the throne room of God daily. It happens in an intimate relationship with Christ. The closer you get to God, the more he's going to help you forgive those you don't know how to forgive. You say, well, I don't want to forget because I want to hold them captive. But you're really not holding them captive. You're holding yourself captive. You're not robbing yourself of them not being in your life. You're robbing yourself of the blessings of God in your life. Because unforgiveness keeps you separate from God. And so forgiveness releases God into your life and opens the door of heaven in your life. When you forgive, pain and resentment will lift. There was a man, and he was talking about how he had parents that abandoned him. They hurt him. They talked about him. They came against his wife and his family. He was just so angry. He was so hurt. He was a grown man in his 40s and just angry. But he loved God. And every day in his prayer time, he went to the throne room of God and he would pray. And he would read his Bible. And then he would always take a moment to dig deep down in his heart and pull out that pain and that hurt and that abandonment that he had felt from his parents who should have loved him, protected him, and taken care of him. And he laid it at the altar. He said, God, I choose today to forgive them. I choose to forgive them for what they did not do for me. I choose to forgive them. And he did this every day for many, many years. He said it was about 4 years in that he went one day to do the normal routine of asking for forgiveness. And as he pulled it out, there was nothing to pull out. He just was like, wait, what? Where is it? I'm not angry. I don't feel bad. I'm not sad. I do want them to be blessed. I pray that, God, you move in their lives. I pray that God, that you help them, that they begin to see you in a new way. And he was able to see in a different way. But it was an everyday commitment to forgiving what was so broken in his life. You see, Matthew 18:21, Peter comes and he asks him, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? That seems like a lot, right? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. Now, if you're the person who does the math on that and you're like, okay, they superseded it. God is making a point in this. Don't be so literal. He's saying, you don't have an excuse to not forgive them every time you feel that little, that little ping. You walk in the room and they're there and you're like, ugh. And your body's like, ugh. And they're like, hi, and you're like, hi. You need to go get in your office. You need to go get in your home. You need to go get in wherever you are, the bathroom and the movie theater. And you need to be like, Lord, I forgive them. I release them. Lord, help me. And the more you do that, the more God is invited in to come help wash away the broken, bitter pain that you've had to live with all that time. Romans 12:18-20. It says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Boy, could you imagine if the world actually did that? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Wow. God is saying, get outside of yourself and do what you don't feel. Do what's not comfortable. Do what's not easy. But by my power and my strength, God says, you will be able to walk through that process of removing that bitter root by stepping into forgiveness. I remember there was a time in my life, and some of you know my story, but I was a very broken young girl. I was not serving God. I was in every bad relationship you could think of. I was trying to find myself outside of the identity of what I thought everybody put on me. And I found myself in a position of always having to have a boyfriend. I had the wrong boyfriend every time. I was like committed to finding the worst guy in the world every time. And with every bad guy came a lot of pain, a lot of sorrow. I was determined to be a virgin my whole life, and I got date raped by that first guy. It was taken from me, and I just couldn't come back from it. I didn't know what to do. I lost everything in that moment. I'm not kidding. It was almost like I could feel the demons just swarm into my life. Another guy said he was going to rescue me from this guy. So I go, oh, yeah, okay, stupid girl. And I went and went into that relationship. He almost killed me. He beat me up so bad, I literally was one breath away from dying until the Lord told me, if you scream, I will rescue you. And I screamed and was knocked out, and I woke up to a woman barging in that apartment and saving me, speaking life over me and sending me home. And I never turned back after that. I followed God every day because I'd so met darkness. But I remember sitting in church and still feeling like, okay, God, I've done the process of forgiving my abusers. I don't want them to go to hell. I actually feel bad for them. They were broken people. They hurt people, hurt people. And I had gotten to the point where I felt a compassion for them, like, Lord, save them. Lord, heal them. I forgive them, God. But God, I'm so sorry. And in those processes, I was a stupid young girl, and I had 2 abortions. And I was feeling the conviction of murder. I was feeling the conviction of all the pain that comes with it. Because let me just tell you, church, from somebody who's been through it, the baby's not the only one that dies that day. The mom dies too. There's something in us that dies. And God wanted to revive me again. He wanted to restore me again. He wanted to heal me again. But I had to get to a place that the Lord, I remember sitting in this church service in the back. I always hid in the back. And he said, would you stop asking me for forgiveness? And I said, but God, I'm such a mess. I'm so sorry, God. And he said, I don't even know what you're talking about anymore. It's time you forgive you now. The greatest challenge I ever had was forgiving myself. Because I put myself in those situations and I made stupid choices. And if you're in this room today and you feel so shameful and so foolish, I'm here to tell you it's the blood of Jesus that heals you. It's the blood of Jesus that covers your shame. There's nothing too far, nothing too deep, and nothing too wide that God cannot forgive you. But if you will just forgive yourself, just choose in this moment, I got to forgive myself. I got to walk away. Because these are deep-rooted things that if we leave them alone, they will cause bitterness in our hearts. We will go against God because of that bitterness, and we will reap evil in our lives. But I have been able to reap the beauty of God's blessing in my life. I was told I would never have children. That's what they told me. You will never be able to have children. I have 3 beautiful children that are gifts from God. And every single day, when I look on their handsome faces and my beautiful daughter, I'm so incredibly grateful that God's mercy was in my life and that his grace and forgiveness was given to me. Listen, if he did it for me, he will do it for you. Because that's how amazing he is. He's not a respecter of persons. I'm not perfect and you're not perfect, but he is. And the beautiful thing about God is he wants us to rip out that root of bitterness. He wants us to expel it from our lives. He wants us to walk in repentance, and he wants us to walk in forgiveness. I think I'm going to stop there tonight. I have a third point, but I think God wants to stay here for a moment because there needs to be some ministry now after this. So can I get the band out here? And I'm going to do something a little different. I want you to just kind of think about where you're at with God. Who's hurt you? Maybe where you've come from. Maybe there's some places that God wants to show you. It might even be something really recent, and you're going, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize that that was in my heart towards that person. Just get alone right now and just ask the Lord. I just want you right now, just be alone with him and ask him, is there any root of bitterness towards anyone in my heart, God? heard God saying, let it go. Let them go. Stop staying connected to what caused so much pain. Let it go. If you're in this room and God has brought to you something or someone, and you need to repent on your own with God for that, talk to God about it. And ask Him to help you pull that root of bitterness out right now. Just to remove it from your life. Forgiveness. Can you forgive? It's hard, I know. But let it go. Tonight, I want you to repeat after me. I'm going to have everybody in the room repeat it. So I'm going to show you how to pray and ask God for this moment. So everybody repeat after me. Dear Father God, I ask that you would help me to forgive. Lord, I choose to release this person. And Lord, I choose to no longer be bound by bitterness. Help me, God, to be free from what has had me so bound. I choose to forgive them. I choose to release them. And God, I ask that you would even bless them. But Lord, I ask that you would heal my heart, that you'd restore my hope, restore my faith. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Every morning, like that man, you may need to pray that prayer. Because some are deeper than others. Some are deeper issues than others. Some, it might be somebody flipped you off on the freeway and you just gotta let it go. But some is your parents, man, that didn't show up. That's a deep-rooted issue. Every morning, bring that to the Lord. Every morning, bring it to God. Are we committed to that, church? Can I just bless you real quick? Lord, as we have been in the book of Ruth, God, you've taught us so many things and you've dealt with us in so many ways. So Spirit of God, we ask that you would do a new work in our lives as we've released these things and let these things go. But God, we ask that the power of God now can fill those places that bitterness once filled. Lord, I ask for the power of God to move in their lives. I pray a blessing over their marriages. God, I ask for open doors for them now. Lord, I ask, God, that they would see the goodness and the love of God like they have never experienced before. And Lord, we thank you that everything that Satan meant for bad, God, you meant it for good. And so, Lord, as we come back into your presence, Lord, fill us, teach us, and show us how to be more like you. Lord, let us be holy people that are acceptable to you, God. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said, amen and amen. If you got something from the Lord tonight, go ahead and give Him a praise.
Hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of Him. Who's Him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at The Rock where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us and discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site, on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally, you don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.